You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition, as always, on our transfer talk shows, we're going to be rounding up the latest transfer rumours with regards to the Arsenal. Now, apologies that we didn't do our usual lunchtime stream. I had some personal stuff I had to take care of, but I am back. The podcast is back, and it looks like I've missed a really, really big story earlier on, but we're going to focus on it now. We're going to discuss it at length now. And that is, of course, the links to Lautaro Martinez. Now, Arsenal are said to have declared their interest in the Inter striker, one of their standout players during their Scudetto winning campaign last time out. He's highly thought of across the continent. He's said to be a long-term target for both Real Madrid and Barcelona. He supposedly attracted the interest of Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool, who have all apparently made it clear to Inter that should the situation change with regards to Lautaro Martinez, they would like to be informed. So, where do we begin? Let's start by talking about the player himself. Let's start by discussing Lautaro Martinez. Now, who is Lautaro Martinez? You know, everybody knows he's an Inter striker, but who is he as a player? Who is he as a kind of entity? Who is he in terms of what will he bring to the side if Arsenal were to get this deal done? Lautaro Martinez, for me, is currently one of the best forward players in Europe. And I say that because I watch a lot of Italian football, and I say that because I think only when you watch Lautaro Martinez can you actually appreciate how much better he is than so many of his kind of peers. It's not just about goals. It's not just about assists with Lautaro Martinez. But if you want to go down that route, he managed 17 goals in Serie A last season in 38 appearances, as well as 10 assists. So that's 27 direct goal contributions in the Italian top flight in 38 appearances. The season prior to that, he managed 14 goals in 35 games and 5 assists. So what has changed over the last couple of seasons with Lautaro Martinez is that he is now a provider just as much as he is a goal scorer, and he's really improved that side of his game. People have kind of spent the entire 2021 season talking about Romelu Lukaku and how good he's been and how much better he's been sort of in the last sort of 12 months or so. And he has been immense. You know, Romelu Lukaku for me has gone up to a completely new level under Antonio Conte, and he deserves much credit and much praise for that. But Lautaro Martinez's contribution, I think, as a result of the praise that Romelu Lukaku gets, is often overlooked. And he's a typical South American striker in that he will run the channels. He will work hard. He'll drop deep if he needs to. He'll pull wide if that's what the situation requires. He gives you so much in terms of work rate and effort, as well as the fact that he's, of course, a very, very competent striker and a very good creator of opportunities as well, as the stats show. I think with Lautaro Martinez, you know, you probably would have thought at the start of the window that he was completely sort of unreachable, untouchable, if you like, that he's somebody that Arsenal would never be able to get their hands on. And I'm not saying that this deal is anywhere near close to being done. And we'll come on to talk about what the report says in detail in just a moment. But in terms of somebody like Lautaro Martinez, I think if you're ever going to get an opportunity as Arsenal Football Club in a situation where, you know, the entire globe has been affected by this pandemic, lots and lots of clubs are finding themselves in a really, really difficult position financially, this is the time where you try and you bully clubs into selling the likes of Lautaro Martinez. Go and put a big offer on the table and see if they budge. You know, see how it's received, see how it's taken by the club. Because I can tell you one thing. Perhaps Simone Inzaghi, the man currently in charge of the club, who's just taken over, of course, from Antonio Conte. Of course, he won't want to lose an asset like Lautaro Martinez. But like many other clubs on the continent, as I say, Inter financially are in a bit of trouble. And there's lots of issues to do with Suning, their owners, and what's going on with them has kind of obviously left a bit of a sour taste in the mouths of many Inter fans. It's what ultimately led to Antonio Conte leaving the club. It's that kind of disconnect, or him being unhappy with what was going to be available to him this summer, what he might be allowed to do. And so for me, when you think about all of those things, I'm not saying Lautaro Martinez is going to come to Arsenal, but why not be bold? Why not be brave and make them an offer that at least makes them consider their position on the Argentine? Now, of course, Lautaro Martinez, he started his career back in his native Argentina, came through at CA Liniers and then joined a Racing club. And of course, earned his move to Inter back in July 2018 for a fee of around about £22.5 million. He's got 28 caps for the Argentine national team. He scored 14 goals. So that's one in two. Very, very impressive. He's just 23 years old. And so you can imagine that if Inter were to consider selling Lautaro Martinez, they're going to put one hell of an asking price on him. And why wouldn't they? He's a top, top player who has proven himself over the last couple of seasons as a really key asset. And, you know, I think when everything was going on at Inter with regards to Mauro Icardi and the fact that he had obviously fallen out with the fans and then the manager and that whole situation, you know, was going on. I think if I'm correct, Luciano Spalletti was the manager at the time. And there were a lot of people looking at Inter and going, how the hell are they going to replace Icardi? Icardi, who's not playing football matches. And he was given Lautaro Martinez the opportunity to come in and show that he could live up to Mauro Icardi's reputation, that he could step into Mauro Icardi's boots. And he's done that brilliantly. And as I say, he's formed a really formidable partnership with Romelu Lukaku, who has tended to get more of the praise of late. But Lautaro is just as important to that Inter side. You know, his willingness to make clever runs, his interchangeable sort of, or his ability to be interchangeable in terms of his starting position, all of those things have contributed to Romelu Lukaku's game going up a level as well. So what does the report say? Well, the report comes from The Telegraph, and I can almost hear lots of you kind of sighing at hearing that it's from The Telegraph, because sometimes The Telegraph do put out what you would class as paper talk with very, very little to go by. They say that Arsenal are interested in the player. They say that Edu has identified him, along with Mikel Arteta, of course, as a target, but that Edu is keen for Arsenal to really make an impact in this transfer window to the point where they can confidently challenge for the top four next season. And Lautaro Martinez would certainly represent that. You know, he's a really high profile player. It would be the marquee signing that so many Arsenal fans are crying out for this summer. But is it what Arsenal should be doing given the current circumstances? Now, Lautaro Martinez, according to Transfermarkt, is valued at £72 million. Now, can you see Arsenal spending £70 million or 65 or even £60 million on a centre forward this summer? For me, I'm struggling to see it. I'm struggling to see how this makes sense. I think maybe these stories and these rumours have come out of the fact that, of course, Hector Bellerin is very interested in a move to Inter. They're very interested in a move for him. Apologies, I don't know what happened to my voice there. And perhaps that has led to reporters kind of putting two and two together and maybe getting to six or seven. Because Lautaro Martinez, to my understanding, is not somebody that Inter want to move on. And actually, Inter have been quite clear in saying that, well, now that Ashraf Hakimi's gone for the price that he went for, actually, Inter are no longer in a position where they desperately need to sell players right now. And, you know, they won't want to lose him. He's key. He's important. But I still don't think that despite all that talk, he's unattainable. And I say that for so many players around the continent right now because of the impact of the coronavirus. We heard yesterday, I believe, that in Italian football, only 33% of the fans in stadiums are going to be allowed to return. So stadiums, let me word that better. Stadiums will only be able to operate at a capacity of 33% of their total capacity. So again, finances are going to be hit. Finances are going to be hurt. And clubs are going to endure another difficult season in Italy. So, you know, it's going to be really, really interesting to see, or, you know, if Arsenal's interest is genuine, will they actually try and test Inter's resolve? Will they actually go knock on the door with a figure? Some are reporting that in an informal offer has been made, not an offer, but contact has been made is the right word. You could tell I've had a long day. Some are saying that actually contact has taken place between the two clubs over the possibility of the signing. And could Hector Bellerin be used as a make-weight in any deal for Martinez? Now, as Matt says in the chat, and this is absolutely true, Lautaro Martinez is in contract talks. Inter want him to extend. And Matt says that his agent is just using us to get the best deal. We'll probably hear next week that he's signed a new contract. Yeah, you know, you might be right, Matt. But we're also hearing at the moment that he's not signing that extension. And he's only got 2 years remaining on his contract. So given Inter's precarious situation, given the fact they're struggling to make a breakthrough, it seems as though they're unwilling to meet the player's demands, at least for now anyway. Will they feel like if his demands are too astronomical and kind of out of their price range, that it might be a good move to cash in on him? I don't know. Look, we'll see. You know, I'm not sitting here saying for a second that Arsenal are going to sign Lautaro Martinez this season. But it's interesting for me that this rumour has come up. It's interesting for me that this story has caught on. And it's interesting for me that Arsenal are even considering, if it's true, of course, spending that kind of money on a centre forward. We've talked a lot about priorities during this transfer window. And I don't think striker is the top priority, particularly given that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang still at the club. Alexander Lacazette, as of now, doesn't appear to be going anywhere. Following Balogun's been given a new contract. Eddie Nketiah will probably leave. But it still feels, you know, it just feels like we've got so many options in that centre-forward position. Gabriel Martinelli's another option. You could even probably argue that Nicola Pepe could play there in a kind of emergency. So it just feels like if Arsenal do have that sort of money to spend, we're probably looking at the wrong areas. And maybe that's different in Mikel Arteta's view. Maybe he believes that striker is very, very important for Arsenal this summer. And I think we would improve if we had a better striker, of course, and one who was maybe a little bit more all-encompassing, i.e. can hold the ball up, can run in behind, has an aerial threat. You know, and with Aubameyang and Lacazette, I look at them and I think you've got some of the attributes and you have got some of the others, but none of you are the complete package, the full package, if you like. And that's been a problem for Arsenal. Deciding who to play when has been a big challenge, I think, for Mikel Arteta. But yeah, I mean, let's see how this develops. Again, I want to advise caution. You know, I'm not saying that Lautaro Martinez is going to end up an Arsenal player. But for me, when I first read this one, I was absolutely buzzing, being a big fan of Italian football and having watched him very, very closely over the last couple of seasons. I've seen personally how Lautaro Martinez has developed, how he has been such a key cog of Antonio Conte's success at the club. And as I keep mentioning, he doesn't always get the plaudits. They normally tend to go to Romelu Lukaku, but Lautaro is just as important and scores a hell of a lot of goals. In terms of what he's good at, you know, of course, he's a good carrier of the ball. He's a good finisher as well. He draws fouls out of people, likes to drop that little bit deeper sometimes to help out. And at times, not very frequently, but at times he has been deployed in a kind of attacking midfield role for Inter, just off of Romelu Lukaku. He's been asked to drop that little bit deeper and become part of the midfield when out of position and then step back into the forward role when Inter win the ball back. So he is able to do that as well. Look, I'm a massive, massive fan, but let's see. Let's see on this one. If Arsenal do have that kind of money to spend, I wish they'd go and get the positions that we really need first, and then we could look at potentially improving our armory up front. But look, getting a striker is the kind of signing that fans live for. It's the kind of signings that fans absolutely buzz about and kind of, you know, for me, the idea of Lautaro Martinez coming excites me although at this point I can't say it's a realistic idea, and I'm not sure that we're going to see him come to the Emirates anytime soon. But yeah, great player, fantastic player, and really interesting to see Arsenal linked, of course. In other news, Arsenal have apparently signed Mika Berith from Fulham. I don't know if I've said his surname right. Excuse me if I haven't. But he is a young striker coming from the Fulham youth setup. Was offered a professional contract by the Cottagers, however, declined to sign it in favour of joining the mighty Arsenal. What else have we got for you, James Maddison? That story is not going away, with some outlets reporting that Arsenal have opened preliminary talks with Leicester City over the transfer of the English attacking midfielder. You know, for me, it still feels a million miles away, this one. And the whole Martin Odegaard thing appears to be gathering pace again, doesn't it? We talked about it a little bit yesterday. We talked about how that deal was looking likely again, and that there was a possibility, and that at least the door was open for Martin Odegaard to potentially return to the Emirates Stadium. We've read some more reports today claiming that the player is open to it, that the player himself wishes to return to Emirates Stadium and be part of the Arsenal setup moving forward. Let's see what happens with that. But yeah, that's where we are in terms of the latest transfer stuff. The Lautaro Martinez stuff dominating. Of course, because he is a huge name, a player that so many would love to see at the club. But as I say, while it looks quite unlikely, just the idea, just that little bit, that little glimmer of hope, obviously, has left me buzzing, because I'm a massive, massive fan of the player. And I think he would bring to the team a kind of dynamism that we're missing, particularly in those centre forward positions. What would that mean for our current strikers? I think if Arsenal were to go and bring a striker in, I think it would probably mean saying goodbye to most likely Alexander Lacazette, given his contract situation, his age, and the fact that, yes, he had a decent season last season, but he hasn't really lived up to the billing, I would say, since he joined the club. So interesting stuff. But Lautaro Martinez, please, please, I would absolutely love that. We're going to go over to the live chat box in a minute. Get your thoughts, get your questions on all things Arsenal. But first, I just want to quickly remind you, if you haven't done so already, hit a like on the video. Just checking in where we are in terms of likes at the moment. We've only got 44. We should be able to get that up to 100 ASAP. Also, quick reminder that this podcast is brought to you by manscaped.com. For all your male grooming needs, head over to manscaped.com. Enter our discount code, which is 90min20, and you will receive 20% off of your order, as well as free shipping. Get your bush sorted. The summer, I know it doesn't look like it today necessarily, but the summer is here. Get it looking as lush, as trim as the Emirates Stadium pitch. Why not? We look forward to hearing your Manscaped stories, because listen, a lot of you have been buying their stuff. I know a lot of you crack jokes about it in the chat and make a bit of a laugh out of it, and rightly so. Like, I think their branding is spot on, and it's partly in a way that allows you to do that, which is the whole fun of the thing. But I know a lot of you have been buying, because I know a lot of you have messaged me privately to talk about it, or to say thanks for the discount code, etc., etc. Brilliant stuff. Let's go over to some of your questions in the chat. Omar says, how did your appointment go? Omar, thank you so much for asking, mate. Had a hospital appointment today. Everything seems okay, touch wood, which is good news. So that's why I was absent today from doing the lunchtime show. But thank you so much, mate. Really, really appreciate that. What else have we got in the live chat? Daniel says that you've missed my super chat, and Daniel, listen, mate, I really, really do appreciate the super chats, but when you're asking me questions that have nothing to do with football, I can't just stop the show and start talking about Bradley Walsh on the chase. Like, it doesn't fit with what we're doing. I appreciate the donation. I really do. But I'm not really sure what you want me to say around some of these questions. They're not Arsenal related. They're not football related. And I don't really know what your expectation is from them. But thank you anyway. Let's go and see what some of you guys are saying. Sam says, is Xhaka staying? Well, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and we talked about the latest reports coming out of Italy, because it's very quiet on this side. It seems like all the speculation with regards to Granit Xhaka is kind of originating from there, originating from Rome, and sort of trickling its way over into the English media via some of those sources. So as far as we understand it at present, Roma are in a place where they don't want to pay more than 15 million euros plus 3 million euros worth of add-ons, so 18 million euros. But Arsenal, they want as close to 20 million as possible, and they want 18 million euros plus 3 million, plus a couple of million, sorry, in add-ons. So they want to take the value at least up to 20 million. And as of now, there's a bit of a kind of stalemate between the two sides. Roma don't want to budge in terms of what it is they're going to pay, and Arsenal don't want to budge in terms of accepting less. However, Granit Xhaka is adamant that he wants to join Roma. Granit Xhaka is adamant that he no longer wants to play for Arsenal Football Club. He wants to move his family to Rome, and he wants to make this move happen. And Roma have been supposedly pressuring Granit Xhaka to apply the pressure on Arsenal, but there's just been no agreement yet. Now, this one feels like it's been rumbling on forever. I do expect the deal to be done before the window closes that takes Granit Xhaka to Rome. I know that Jose Mourinho would love to get him in now whilst they're on one of their preseason training camps. I mean, every manager would prefer, wouldn't they, to get all their signings in the door ahead of the new season. But sometimes it doesn't work like that. And it feels like with this one, that this is going to rumble on and on and on and on. And we'll probably see a deal done where the two clubs decide to meet somewhere in the middle. But I think it will happen later in the window, which is frustrating because we don't know how significant that is in terms of holding up Arsenal in going and bringing in Granit Xhaka's replacement. And I'd argue that it probably does cause them a bit of an issue and a bit of a problem. You know, you're talking about, all right, even if we got £15 million for Granit Xhaka, that's a substantial amount of the fee that Arsenal will probably be looking to spend on any of the players that we've been linked with to come in and fill that midfield role. Ollie Benford says, would Bellerin, going back to the Martinez thing, would Bellerin be part of the Martinez deal? That's where I think this has come from. So the original report from the Telegraph, from memory when I read it this morning, didn't say that Hector Bellerin would be part of it. But sometimes I feel like a lot of these stories are born out of kind of little details and little side stories and little subplots. And it feels like the subplot to this one is the Bellerin to Inter thing. And so it would make perfect sense, wouldn't it, to then link Arsenal with a player that plays at Inter while Inter are chasing one of Arsenal's players. I feel like this is maybe partly where the story was born out of and where it's come from. But as I say, the original report, from what I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong in the chat, didn't say anything necessarily about that being the case. Luke Williams says, would you rather not put that money towards the midfielder to help Partey? Me personally, I would. Yep. Neil D'Souza says, Harry, the positions which are addressed are backup left back, backup to centre midfield, and centre back at the beginning of the season was not priority, but we welcome. But the main priorities are the centre of midfield, the centre attacking midfield, and a backup goalkeeper. Still, we hope. Let's pick out a few more of your questions. Don't forget to hit the like button again if you haven't done so already. Lots of you asking me jokes about The Chase now. Matt, Harry, do you ever watch The Chase? Sometimes I do. I'm not going to lie. I'm a big fan of The Chase. Alex McCarthy says, should Arteta be worried that we're seriously struggling to enhance our starting 11? This is an interesting question because I don't really think you can say that until we see how this window is going to end up, because strengthening your first 11 is not just about bringing in new players. It's other players developing and it's players going on to the new level. For example, somebody like Bukayo Saka, somebody like Emile Smith Rowe, these guys, somebody like Gabriel, who obviously had his first season in the Premier League, these guys should be better next season. In theory, that enhances your starting 11. And actually, I don't think that Arsenal's starting 11 was that much of an issue last season. I think one of the big problems we had was missing key players at key moments. And I think that we showed that we didn't necessarily have the depth to cope with that. Now, I'm not saying that Arsenal's starting 11, had they been fit every week, would have achieved all of our objectives, all of our targets. I still think that they weren't good enough necessarily. But, you know, if we don't have periods where Kieran Tierney's out and we've got to end up moving Granit Xhaka out of our midfield and into left back, you know, that kind of thing. And then periods without Aubameyang, and then periods where Emile Smith-Rowe was out, and periods where, you know, there was just so much going on at Arsenal last season. So I think if you bring in Ben White at centre-back, I think he does come into the starting 11. I can't get my head around the club forking out that kind of money for someone who wasn't a guaranteed starter. Then, you know, you hope that Kieran Tierney stays fit. You hope that we can get that midfield player. And then I think we have improved the 11. But again, as I say, I don't think the 11 was the biggest problem. I think that beyond that, when we had to cope with certain situations, we really, really struggled. Vishal says, do you think Edu is doing a good enough job with the transfers? And how long would you give Arteta if we get the transfers we need? It's so hard to say how good a job Edu and Arteta are doing. Again, I go back to this point, until the window is concluded, and then you can kind of judge the ins and outs and come to your own conclusion, I guess. But at this moment in time, we don't know what Edu's working on behind the scenes. We keep being linked with this player and that player, but a lot of the time, you know, we don't know the half of it. And, you know, it would be very Arsenal, wouldn't it, for us to all of a sudden come out and announce a signing of somebody that none of us even knew was on the list or kind of on the shopping list, if you like. So, yeah, I'm not going to judge how they do in the window until the window shuts, because as I've always said, I expect a lot of the significant business to be done towards the back end of the window. It always is. You know, as I say, stances with regards to the buying and selling of players soften because of the time constraints. And sometimes you can see deals going through that 3-4 weeks prior didn't look like they had a hope in hell. So let's wait till the end of the window on that one to make that judgment. And how long would I give Arteta if we get the transfers we need? That depends on so many things, Vishal. I'm not one of these people that wants to say, if we're not in X position, having accumulated X amount of points by the 1st of December, I want him out. I think I've got to watch and see and understand where we're going as a team, how we're developing. If I think that Mikel Arteta is getting the team wrong, and I think that Mikel Arteta is making bad decisions and bad calls, then of course, you know, the blame in my eyes would shift to him. And then you'd start to ask the question about whether it's right for him to continue. But, you know, for example, in the first few games, you know, we got Chelsea and we got Manchester City, and everyone's talking about what a difficult start it's going to be. If we lost both of those games, but we were desperately unlucky, played really good football, showed improvements in other ways, you won't catch me saying that Mikel Arteta is to blame. And you won't catch me saying that Mikel Arteta should be sacked at that point. But there will be Arsenal fans this season who will be waiting, literally waiting, to pounce on Mikel Arteta when results don't go our way. And I don't think he's going to get too much leeway in terms of time to get it right. And in terms of people being maybe understanding of the circumstances around a particular defeat, because of the fact that we finished eighth two seasons running, in the eyes of so many, that's just not right. And it's a problem. A bit of a non-Arsenal related question, but Daruv says, are Manchester United title challengers now? Of course, Jadon Sancho joined the club, and Rafael Varane is very close to becoming Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's latest acquisition. My answer to whether Man United are title challengers is quite simple, and the answer is no. And the reason is because of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I just don't see him as an elite level manager. I think he's got good players. I think what he's done well at United is he's brought a bit of a better feeling. He's put his arm around people. He's allowed them to go out and flourish and play their own game. And more often than not, the better players will come out on top. But I think at times Solskjaer's let himself down as a manager. I don't think he's as tactically sophisticated as the Klopps, the Guardiolas of this world. And I think when it comes to a title race, yes, of course, your squad is important. And Man United have an abundance of talent. But sometimes the manager can make that difference, that extra 5-10% that gets you over the line. And I'm not sure that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a Premier League title winning manager. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I don't see it. Ollie says, Koufal from West Ham. Would you take him as a right-back option? Of course, Vladimir Koufal, one of West Ham's better players last season, along with his Czech compatriot, Thomas Souček, is yet to sign a new contract with West Ham, and he's said to be disappointed in the terms that have been offered to him. Would I take him? Yeah, why not? I think he's done really, really well since he's come to the Premier League. Very energetic, gets up and down the pitch really well, has a good delivery on him as well. Yeah, I wouldn't be against that. But again, you know, if we're talking about Premier League players and we're talking about the need to sort of entice them away from fellow Premier League clubs, you're talking about vast amounts of money. And again, I would argue, given the options we currently have at right back, I would probably say that it's not the best way to spend that money. Gunners Forever says it just shows the state of the club when Brighton can demand 50 million for Ben White and we can't even get 17 million for an experienced international captain. But this is the thing, mate. It's because everybody knows that we want to get rid of him. Everybody knows that he wants to leave. You know, the more something is in demand, the more it costs and the more you can justify elevating that cost and putting it in a place where, you know, it seems ludicrous to some. But when you don't want the player, and that's as clear as day, when your fans don't want the player, and that's as clear as day, when your manager is probably on the fence about it all and isn't necessarily begging Granit Xhaka to stay, then that's what happens, right? You're only worth as much as someone's willing to pay for you. What else have we got? Sanjeev says, which club apart from Arsenal do you like watching play? That's a really interesting question. A little bit outside of the box. I love watching the Italian clubs play, as I always say. I don't support a team in Italy, but I've got a little bit of a thing for AC Milan. So if I'm not doing much on a Sunday evening or Arsenal aren't playing and I'm not working, then I will. Especially if Milan are playing, well, I'll sit and watch a Serie A game pretty much every Sunday night. I've got to be honest. I'm not even going to lie about it. But I do particularly look forward to the Milan one. So, yeah, I'd probably say them. What else have we got here? Let's see. Let's try and find some questions from some different people. Big hello to Abdullah there as well in the chat. Hold on a second. Delisu says, hi, Harry, would it be realistic for Arsenal to get both Martinez and Maddison? Where would that money come from? I can't see it, if I'm honest. I really can't. I'm still struggling to get my head around Arsenal doing another big signing after Ben White. So to think that we would then go and get Martinez and Maddison, I think is a little bit overambitious. I don't see it. But it would be lovely, wouldn't it? It'd be fantastic. Stephen Andrew says, Harry, do you think we'll see Xhaka having the conversation to leave in the All or Nothing series like Eriksen did in the Spurs one? Potentially, you know, it would make good TV, wouldn't it? It would be something that I'm sure a lot of Arsenal fans would tune into eagerly to kind of see how that unfolded. But I'm not sure whether that is going to be included or not. Akash says, can Ben White and Maddison push Arsenal to the top four spots? Not alone is the simple answer to that. The others need to pull their weight. They need to improve. They need to continue on an upward trajectory in the case of some of the younger players. And it's only going to happen as a concerted effort. You know, there were some players that dragged us into the top four. Your Van Persies, your Alexis Sanchez's. But as good as Ben White and James Maddison are, they're not in that level. They're not in that bracket. So I'd have to answer no on that. Assassin says, Harry, let's be honest. This window is a mess. Be true to yourself. We're being linked to this player and that player with no concrete evidence to who we're looking for. It's pathetic. Yeah, but just because the press are linking us with 101 different players, it doesn't mean that Arsenal are actually in pursuit of 101 different players. Just because, you know, we keep hearing these rumors and we keep hearing stories, which a lot of the time are kind of made from very, very little and in some cases are woven together or strung together by a number of other stories and then a conclusion is drawn and that becomes a report. I just think, look, only Arsenal really know who we're interested in right now and who we're actually pursuing. And just try not to get caught up in the media whirlwind every day of we're signing this player, we're signing that player. What we do on the podcast is we bring you those stories and we discuss those stories. But I always say it when I talk about a transfer story, take it with a pinch of salt. Until that player is standing at London Colney or at the Emirates Stadium with the shirt in their hand, posing for the cameras, you can never be sure about anything. Let's pick up a couple more bits and pieces. Terry Talk says, guys, let's get this to 100 likes or else Harry will start talking about the chase again. Yes, please do. Please do. Hit the like button. In fact, let me just check in where we are on that right now. I can see there's a few more questions coming through as well. We'll pick up a couple more before we round up today's live stream. We've only got 75 likes. So we're still 25 away from that 100 mark. There's over 225 of you watching. So there's no excuse for us not to get there now. Also, subscribe to the channel if you're new. And the other thing I wanted to say as well, actually, and I mentioned the other day that I wasn't going to do this because I wasn't that kind of bothered, really. You know, I'm really proud of the community that we got here on the channel, the people that tune in regularly, even the people that just swing by from time to time. But I've seen a load of people voting for us on Twitter for the Football Content Awards in the category of Best Club Creator. Now, we haven't asked for these votes. We haven't really lobbied for these votes. But seeing as I've seen, you know, a good few on social media over the last days, first of all, I want to thank all those people that have voted for us without me actually prompting you and asking you. But seeing as there are some votes, and if you know, then let's do it. You know, if you want to vote for the Chronicles of Aguna in the category of Best Club Creator at the Football Content Awards, I would really appreciate it. And you can do it in one of two ways. You can either click on the link in the description, type in the Chronicles of Aguna in the Best Club Creator category and submit your choices. You don't have to fill in all of them, by the way, just the ones that you want. So that would be Best Club Creator. Or you can tweet the following message and you'll see it rolling across the bottom of your screens now. For those of you who are listening via audio, do it by the link, but I'll explain it to you. This is what you need to type on Twitter. I am voting for @Chronicles_AFC in @the_FCAs for #BestClubCreator. We're not going to win because there's just so many great creators out there, but it's great to see the podcast getting some further exposure. And yeah, if you'd like to do it, I'd really, really appreciate it. And yeah, why not? Let's see how we do. Let's see how we get on. You know, even just for me to see how many people are voting by the Twitter thing is amazing. So yeah, please, why not? Do it. Go for it. Let's pick out a few more questions before we go. This is a good one from Sam. What happens to the Xhaka figurine if he leaves? I haven't even thought about that yet. It's one of those moments I'm anticipating heartbreak. And so I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until I have to cross that bridge and then I'll deal with it. Let's say a big hello to Rishab, who says, is buying a decent right back not in Arteta's plan? We need strikers, but we need to fix the spine first. Love from India. I think it is part of the plan, but I think if you can't execute all of the plan, then I think that for me is the one area of the positions that we've mentioned that you probably could put on the back burner a little bit. Let's go to Guna72. He says, fans need to stop getting wound up by the media and other fan channels. Over the last 3 or 4 years, Arsenal fans have become toxic, which I really don't like. I agree with that as well. There's so much of it going around at the moment. It drives me absolutely crazy. Omar says he'll vote. Omar, thank you. Abdullah says this podcast is appreciated, Harry. Thank you so much. We're getting closer to that 100 likes. Let's get there sooner rather than later. Ella with an interesting question says, would you be happy if we kept Xhaka and didn't get a new midfield signing? I'm at a place now where as much as I have defended Granit Xhaka and I've talked about his importance to the side and the kind of underappreciation of the Swiss midfielder, I feel like now he has to go. You know, he doesn't want to be here. The club are obviously open to selling him. The glass is broken. The glass was shattered, 2 years ago? And It's like breaking a mirror. You try and put it together, but it will never be the same again. And while I think that from a purely footballing perspective, I think Granit Xhaka staying isn't the worst thing in the world, that there's just this thing within our fan base where people just want him to fail. People are ready to pounce on him at every opportunity. And it's just an unhealthy environment for a player to be in. It's unhealthy in terms of the fan base and that toxicity that we've just talked about. So I'd probably move him on regardless, because it's just, you know, I think we've gone too far now in terms of trying to move him on and him kind of declaring his interest in moving away to now go back on it and to expect him to be able to get his head right and start the season as a key member of the side. Let's see what else we've got. We're going to pick out one more, I think, before we log off. Wilson says, do you think Ruben Neves would be an ideal replacement for Xhaka? He's someone that I think would be a good replacement. Yes. Not sure ideal is the word I'd use, because I feel like that is a little bit strong, but I do like Ruben Neves and I wouldn't be disappointed. In fact, I'd be quite pleased if we were able to get him in through the door between now and the end of this current transfer window. But Wolves want £35 million. Up until now, Arsenal have been unwilling to match that valuation or to offer that price. And so we're going to have to wait and see. We are going to leave it there. Make sure that you get us up to that 100 likes mark on the YouTube video if that's the way you're consuming the content. If you're listening via the audio platforms, please, please do leave us a review. Check out our sponsors, manscaped.com. Use our discount code 90min20 and you can stand to save yourself a fair amount of money. And just lastly, once again, if you want to, only if you want to, only if you feel like it's worthy, please click on the link in the description or tweet the message rolling across the bottom of your screens today. I am voting for @Chronicles_AFC in @TheFCAs for #BestClubCreator. Really, really appreciate that. And please do it on Twitter so I can see him and I can retweet him and we can hopefully create a little something. Thank you all so, so much. I'll catch you all very, very soon with more Arsenal content. Until then, take care of yourselves and stay safe. Ciao.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Iguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.